Hello, readers. As a parent, I'm usually trying to convince my kids to read books, good books. While I enjoy comic books as much as the next guy and allow my kids to read them, I wanted to hand them something more substance that I approve of. I know this may be bad parenting, but I even tried bribing them to read. Cash money. And it worked. Often, though, they don't trust me, so in a couple episodes, I'll talk about a series I had to convince my kids to read, and they end up loving it. For now, I'm still trying to convince them to read the book I'm reviewing today, and I know they'll end up loving it as much as I did, for who doesn't love a good chivalrous adventure story? Maybe your kids will end up reading it before mine do. The book is The Witch, the Sword, and the Cursed Knights by Alexandria Rogers. Admittedly, this book is 2 years old, but is the first of a series, and I'll be reviewing the second book soon. This is Rogers' debut novel. It's about a girl named Ellie, who is a witch from a magical realm, and a boy named Cademan, from our realm, who gets sucked into the world of magic, both of whom are 12 years old. Ellie wants to be a fairy godmother, but they've never accepted a witch before. Cademan just wants to stay out of trouble. All the while, normal childhood hijinks and some other dark presence seems to be trying to stop them from accomplishing their goals. Ellie and Cademan both get called to the Knight Academy and realize that their goals can be mutually accomplished instead of alone. They're both outcasts, so it works to team up, and they find friendship in their time together. Ellie wishes to prove herself as a magic user and to become a fairy godmother, and Cademan wishes to prove himself as a knight and to make sure he can go protect his family. To do so, they have to go through multiple trials and study hard, but their ambitions get in the way of actually accomplishing their goals, and they get set back many times. Some of the setbacks seem to be triggered by something outside the academy, but they're told it's impossible. Eventually, they get completely off track from the things of the academy, and everything turns to chaos. Ellie, Cademan, and some of their companions must make hard choices to try to fix everything that is broken and falling apart, or all the realms will suffer the consequences. If you're not excited to read this book yet, whether as a parent or as a kid looking for the next great book, I don't know what to tell you. You should use the link below and find out more about the book. Or just continue listening. Obviously, the major characters are Ellie and Cademan. Ellie is an adventurous 12-year-old girl. She's kind of always been on her own, so she's figuring out how to do life with a new friend, letting some of her independence go and trust somebody else. She's also learning to trust herself, to be herself, even though she thinks people won't like the real her. Cademan is a 12-year-old boy who likes his security. Ellie's adventurous nature is contrary to his own, but it challenges him to break out of his shell. Not shy, but not self-assured, even though he shows potential for greatness. He'd rather stay in the shadows, but it seems that life and Ellie won't let that happen. They have many friends and frenemies that help them out along the way. Both have to learn to trust each other and their new companions at the academy, which is where most of the things take place in this book. The world is broken up into many realms, one of which is the non-magical realm. This is our known world. The rest of the realms are hidden by magic from the non-magical world. The knights live in their own realm, and they are the protectors and enforcers of the other magical realms, and only interact with the non-magical realm when something from one of the magical realms leaves or escapes. It is in this realm, at the Knights Academy, that most of the story takes place. It's a school, like another famous magical school, where children who are selected for knighthood study to become knights. As for the analysis of the book, I don't want to give too much away. I hate ruining good things for others just as much as when someone ruins it for me. So there are no spoiler alerts in this show. But I do want to highlight some of the features of the story for you, like major themes, writing style, gospel connections, and things like that. So for major themes, there are some really great themes in this book. And while fantasy and adventure might explain the genre, I think in this instance they can also be themes. Now, I don't know Rogers personally, but I feel that she had a lot of fun creating such a fantastic world. See what I did there? Fantasy novel, fantastic world. She also wrote themes of friendship, good versus evil, identity, self-acceptance, and loyalty. I would love to delve into these topics in depth, but I feel I would reveal too much about the book. They are there, and they are well written. I especially enjoyed the themes of friendship and self-acceptance. They were done from a childlike view, and I could imagine myself as a preteen struggling with the same issues of feeling connection to the book. They were healthy, age-appropriate, and came to a great conclusion in my opinion. Speaking of which, I think this book, which is about a 12-year-old, is appropriate for the same age. I would put the writing style, length, and vocabulary from anywhere between 10 and 14. I say this fully enjoying the book and wanting to pick up the second for myself, even more than my kids. So even an adult in his 30s can enjoy this story. But the age group fits a similar age group as the characters in the book. There's enough light, humorous writing to appeal to the younger reader, and enough edgier themes to appeal to the older readers, wanting a little more substance. I wouldn't put in the absolute silliness of middle grade books, or dark young adult books. I would say it fits a category called upper middle grade, which is one of my favorite spots to read. The plot, likewise, is perfect for the age range. It is enough to follow for a 10-year-old to retain their interest, and complex enough for the 14-year-old to think about. It's fast-paced, with most chapters being less than 10 pages long, at least in the paperback version that I have. Chapters alternate from the perspective of Ellie or Cademan, so it may be difficult for some readers to keep track, but the story is still driven despite whose perspective the chapter is written in. It is driven by both the main characters, so that neither shines above the other, but both are equal. It is unique, as there are shifting perspectives between the two. While the plot of some evil character manipulating things is nothing new, the way evil interacts in the story, the reasons why, and the backstory are all quite unique and very interesting. So, what are the gospel implications? This is kind of the meat of this whole topic. Well, there's magic in the world, and it is used regularly. I don't have a problem with magic in books personally, but I do know there's some Christians out there that do. So if you're one of those, just be aware, there's magic. I would suggest talking to your kids so they know that magic isn't real. But even today, some people do attempt magic. This whole issue goes back to the garden, when the snake suggested we could be like God. Our desire to practice magic is to be powerful, to have power. But again, this doesn't bother me. This is something that we all have to deal with, at least at some point in our life, the desire for power. And so it's just a good discussion point. There is also a pretty dark, evil character in the book. And there's murder and death. The latter are talked about in negative ways. So that kind of reflects what the Bible says about murder in particular. These scenes in the book can be disturbing. So I would suggest reading them just to get a good perspective on them. Overall, there's a good versus evil theme. I think this fits in with the Bible. There is evil. There is always evil. Yet, good always overcomes. One of the characters is fighting the same thing in his or herself. I don't want to give away who, but seeing that fight is like seeing the fight against sin in our own lives. What a great conversation piece for our kids. Also, I want to discuss the social impact, because I think some things fit socially within this book. There are many political situations that this book fits to our world. Many of the realms disagree and need to work together. Many of the kids at the academy are from different realms and don't get along because of it, but they have to learn to work together when trouble comes. Also, there's a character that struggles with their mother. This may be the hardest one, as the mother is a bit of a character in how she treats her child. We as parents make mistakes, but this mom seems to dislike her child. So be pre-warned that this topic may come up and upset your child. If you're struggling with your relationship, it may be a straining topic. Final thought. I enjoyed this book. I think any kid that picks this up has a good chance of enjoying it too. There are just really great things about the book, which a lot of those things can point back to the Bible. I think the most important thing is discuss these items with your kids. Personally, I think it would be safe for anyone 10 and up to read, but you might be able to get a little bit of a younger reader if they're advanced. The most telling thing for me about any book is the desire to read more of the story. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. It made me excited for the next book, which came out last year, and I'm looking forward to picking up. Until next time, have a good read. Thank you. Thanks, readers, for joining us on today's episode. We've got some great books coming up for you. Be sure to stop by randallmurphy.com for more great content, transcripts of the episodes, and upcoming books. We'll be looking at some older series in some upcoming episodes as well. Some honorable mentions include The Cul-de-Sac Kids by Beverly Lewis for 6 to 10-year-olds, The Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis for 8 to 12, and The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien for 12 to 16. If you would like to suggest a review, you can do so at randallmurphy.com and click Book Reviews at the top of the page.